direct from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
Hello and welcome to The Superiority Complex. Welcome back, everybody. Mm. New and exciting episode. Hope you enjoyed that Doppler effect. Fun with sound. That's how we're starting off this week. Speaking of fun with sound, saw Isle of Dogs last week.
Oh, was it good?
Loved it. I love Wes Anderson movies. I'm a sucker for them. Not only is this a great kind of tip of the hat to Akira Kurosawa films of the 50s and 60s, a lot of samurai movies, as a matter of fact. Also, pulled off a neat trick. Alexander, I don't know how to say his name, his last name. Alexander, I think it's Display or Displate.
Dupla.
Does a great job mimicking the sound of the 50s and 60s Kurosawa films to the point where they actually use a track from Seven Samurai. But the soundtrack itself, super awesome. Really good. I loved it. The animation is fantastic. It's very funny, of course. Wes Anderson, very dry humor, but the voice cast is fantastic.
I love how deadpan. You got Ed Norton's voice coming out of a dog, and it's completely deadpan.
Yeah, it's completely deadpan. There's a scene that made my daughter and I just burst out laughing where they send a robot dog to find the little boy. Because you've seen the preview, you know the story. And then all of these like kind of foot soldiers come, and they're trying to wrangle the kid. And Ed Norton just goes, he tells Bryan Cranston's character, "You fight the robot dog. The rest of us will get everybody else." And we just thought it was so funny.
And he's all, "Wait a minute, what?
Yeah,
There's a robot. What?
You fight the robot dog." But he's just so deadpan about it. My daughter and I cracked up.
Where'd you catch it?
We just went to our local Regal. It was fine. You know, I wanted to go see it. It just opened wide recently, but go check it out. It's a fun. If you like Fantastic Mr. Fox, it's right up your alley.
I thought it was better than Fantastic Mr.
Fox. You thought so?
Yeah.
You saw it too, John?
I caught it like the second day.
Did you love it?
As a matter of fact, it might be right up in the top of the top Wes Anderson movies.
What's your top?
Live action or otherwise. Moonrise Kingdom and Rushmore.
Yeah.
And Life Aquatic are probably at the very top. But I left the theater going, this is as good as any movie he's done, live action or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
It was that good.
But that soundtrack, wasn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah.
It was good stuff.
Yeah, the look of it, it was just beautiful. And he's always got the greatest vocal cast. You know, all the usual characters. He's got Bill Murray, Ed Norton.
Harvey Keitel.
What was
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, and Bryan Cranston was wonderful.
Yeah. Bob Balaban. Yeah.
And Yoko Ono.
Oh yeah, Yoko as Yoko Ono. I loved it.
No, I it was great.
You haven't seen it?
Not yet.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Go check it out.
It's just hard to see because not a lot of places play it.
No. Is it citywide now? I caught it out in Pasadena ArcLight, but it's everywhere now.
Isn't it? It is everywhere now. So check it out.
It's
not playing
citywide.
In our local theaters.
Well, you live out in the sticks.
We do.
Did you finally see Ready Player One?
I didn't.
Okay, that's all right. Oh, yeah. We have a lot to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm out wandering around, I run into other podcast hosts, and you don't even know they're podcast hosts until you see. That's why I'm a podcast host, because I'm good with words.
You English well.
Mm-hmm. Ran into two hosts who happen to be together, and we didn't know. I actually follow one of them on Twitter. I follow the other one now, but through Noel from Heil on Life. Shout out to our castaway friend. Noelle at High on Life. She introduced me to a show called Cabronas y Chingonas, which is a great podcast hosted by two Latinas. It's really good. I think I offended one of the co-hosts by mentioning that I don't like Selena as much as I like La Bamba.
Shit.
She's from Texas, and that is like, yeah.
That's a sin.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Stoned. That's like telling someone from East LA you don't like Brenton Wood. It's like, what? super nice. And then also co-host of Latinos Who Lunch. So we always like to support the other brown podcasts out there. So listen to them. Check them out on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Listen to their shows. Just want to give them a quick shout out. And they were very cool and very nice. And you know, support small podcasts like this,
hit the table more.
Like this one. Hey guys, it's time for the next chapter in our digital movie club. Does anybody have any news? Anybody else want to add anything?
We still need to add intro music to the digital movie
club. Yeah. Oh yeah, here we go. We got to. Okay, so before we go any further, I didn't even introduce who's here. To my right, of course, Jake was nice enough to move so he could be at my right hand, yep. Mm-hmm. So this chairs. Intro would work. The great John Sandy is here.
Howdy.
To his right, my farther right, is Jake.
Hello.
Jake, looking, he's wearing black today. He looks like a ninja.
Yeah.
Or like a young.
Only not at all, but yeah.
Like a young John Cash. Wearing a TIE Fighter blouse today. The love, as yeah. ever, the no. lovely and effortless.
Beautiful.
That's
what
that is. No. Yep.
Yeah. They are TIE
no.
Fighters.
No.
Mm-hmm. They're TIE Fighters mid explosion.
You guys are horrible.
They're
spiders.
No, they're not.
They're butterflies.
It's oh, Justine, sorry. Everybody.
Sorry about that.
Nice.
Hi.
No, hi.
You're like, no, they are TIE
right across from him, wearing what can only be described as a newsy cap.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Hi, everybody.
And manning the ones and twos on the boards, currently on his phone, mm-hmm. not paying attention to anything at all that's happening.
No.
Because he doesn't care.
Yep.
Renee is here, everybody. Yay!
Yay! Renee, that's a great shirt.
Did you hit record already?
This is actually going out to people's houses?
Is that right. A retro Black Panther?
Yeah. Nice.
Very cool.
So it's time for the Digital Movie Club, which is... Digital Movie Club.
I liked it when you went full tilt last.
We always think of, and the next thing is Lucasfilm presents a long time ago in a galaxy.
Digital movies, digital movies, digital movies. Let's watch some.
I love that. Let's watch some.
All right.
Na, 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 na,
so we had to go circle around because Justine couldn't figure out how the old Amazon Prime worked. So we missed 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Which was released in 1954. We passed 1954 a couple of weeks ago. But we're back to pick her up. We went back around to pick up. And if you are not familiar with it, this is one of Disney's first big budget live action movies. They had done a few things like Treasure Island. I think they did things that were... They made them in... Yeah, they had...
Robin Hood. It was all in... they were live action, in color, beautiful, but mostly shot in England.
Yeah.
I think this is the first American production.
But there are some Brits in the cast.
They shot in Bahamas and Jamaica.
Look at, she's doing that X-ray.
That's right.
Here we go. So from 20,000 Leagues, this is this is from 1954, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, based on the novel by, of course, Jules Verne. And according to IMDb, a ship is sent to investigate a wave of mysterious sinkings. Oh, no, a ship sent to investigate a wave of mysterious sinkings encounters the advanced submarine, the Nautilus, commanded by Captain Nemo, directed by Richard Fleischer. Written by Earl Felton and starring Kirk Douglas, James Mason, Paul Lucas, and Peter Lorre.
I love Peter Lorre.
All right. It was, like I said, it was a huge hit for Disney. And what a lot of people don't know is this basically was, if this movie flopped, there would be no Disneyland.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because they were pretty much sinking. He was trying to build Disneyland while he was going forward with Disneyland while they made this movie.
And he sunk so much money into this movie that if it had flopped, that would have been it. They would have been bankrupt.
Yeah. And it did win an Academy Award for Best Art Direction and Set Direction in color. So
what a set, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Insane. So what did you guys, had you guys seen this before?
No, never
at all?
Seen it.
Nope.
Oh, billion times.
All right. What did you think? Let's see. For someone who hasn't seen it, let's start with Justine.
Get the bad out of the way. Away.
What do you got, Justine?
It was okay.
It breaks my heart.
I think it's something that people that loved it a long time ago probably still love it, but I just...
Did you find it dated?
I was bored, yeah.
Boring. Out of six.
Slow moving?
It was cool.
Out of six!
It was cool.
One out of six. What do you give it?
It was cool to see. Like the sets were great. That was cool. But no, I was pretty bored.
So, Kirk Douglas didn't grab you.
No.
Captain Nemo didn't grab you.
Kirk Douglas taking his shirt off every 5 minutes. That didn't.
You know, but his pants were pretty high up. I kept thinking Star Wars right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the 50s way, dude. That's the Kylo Ren
way.
Did
you recognize your old pal, Peter Lorre?
Yeah, love him right away.
Ned, you must do something.
Hide me, Rick. Hide me. Professor.
I stick my neck out for no one.
Yeah. What, Patrick, not having seen it, what did you think?
It was fun. I didn't love it, but it was fun. It was definitely dated, and I am actually on the same page with her that if you had seen it when it first came out, you probably would have loved it.
You know we didn't see it when it first came out, right? You know what I mean? John and I are old.
We weren't alive in 50.
I understand, but like, it's just for its time, it was fun, and there was nice touches to it.
Is the pace too slow?
It's the same complaint we have about a lot of movies nowadays, and I told this to Jake earlier, is that it's like an hour too long.
Well, I think what they were trying to go for was they were trying to hit certain high points in the book.
It's supposed to, it feels like they're trying to make it into an epic, and it was just
they succeeded.
I feel
it
like
was an epic.
Yeah,
it's just.
But was it the pacing? You just felt like it was just taking too long to tell the story.
It was long.
Jake, what did you think? Had you seen it before?
I had not seen it before.
What did you think?
And I liked it more than they did. I didn't mind the pacing so much, just because they're, you know, the characters were really engaging and it was fun. I just enjoy watching Peter Lorre in general, so I enjoyed watching
it. It was fun. I mean, there's parts I liked.
And then the guy, I forget the guy's name.
Kirk Douglas?
Yeah. I liked watching Kirk Douglas. And I was surprised that at the beginning of the movie, they had the little Disney musical. And I'm like, oh, is it going to be one of these movies?
Yeah, right.
Gonna be
like just a throw it in there.
Thing? But no, it completely
it's great that he doesn't burst into song ever again.
Yeah.
It's just at the beginning.
No, I thought it was great. Yeah, set designs were awesome. I loved Captain Nemo. I thought Captain Nemo was a really interesting character.
Yeah.
But didn't it bother you when he gets out of the fight with the Kraken and everybody's soaked in water and then Nemo's only got his hair wet after being in the ocean?
I didn't notice that.
Because you know why? He's the captain.
It is because I am the captain and
no, like,
I have
literally,
ready.
He's fucking coming out of the ocean.
I have ready
after
access.
After practically drowning and he's fucking dry.
You know
I didn't notice that.
You don't look at the little details.
Mr. McCanns, you will belay that kind of talk
that.
On
we'll
my
save that for the other movie.
What'd you think of the, well, it was the squid. It wasn't a kraken, it was a squid. What'd you think of the squid?
Giant squid. That was cool. That part was
awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
Like the whole arm reaching into the sub, that was really well done.
Yeah, about that.
It was great.
Yeah, imagine. That must have just been a knockout in 15.
Oh, yeah. If
you'd
seen it back then, it
would
scare the shit out of
you. Yeah, when the arm went through, I was like, whoa, this is the coolest part of all.
There was a lot of fun parts that were good.
It seemed believable, even though
it
was so cheesy, but I loved it.
Yeah, give it like a 4.
That was a huge, you probably read in the trivia, they originally shot that like at sunset, and it just wasn't working.
It looked like a phony squid.
And Walt Disney came by and was like, make it as they had to reshoot that whole thing.
Do it
like at storm, you know, because it hides some of the special
effects. Works.
It works great.
It
that
hides
thing
all
looks...
the wires and all that. And also, it heightens the tension. Not only are you fighting this monster, you're fighting it in a storm.
Yeah.
So, and you know, if you got this, if anybody watched it on DVD, there's a second disc that shows you that footage. What it looked like. Do you see that?
Oh, like
somebody dug up the footage and it does not look. It would have brought the whole movie down.
Yeah. Because it's like a pink sky.
Yeah.
Did you like James Mason?
Yeah, because they were saying it was
as
a calm.
The captain. Yeah. You are now
captain
drinking
Nemo.
Squid ink out of that Coca Cola bottle.
Some nice touches,
which I have recycled from the ocean.
Eat your pudding, Mr. Land.
Yes.
What is it? I'm so mad about it.
What do you mean?
Just drink it. You're fine.
I know you.
Be
somebody,
more cultured.
Somebody else brought that up. It's
so
like, you're a sailor. Why are you mad about eating stuff from the sea?
Yeah.
Like, he's a sailor.
Unborn baby squid? Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't
know. Yeah. As I read, it's bad luck for them to have bananas on a boat, so no one ever does that.
Yeah.
But they have bananas on there.
Well, maybe I think that's more of a testament to Ned Land not caring. I think that's more about Ned being like
I never heard that. Bad luck to have bananas on a boat.
Wow. Yeah.
Do,
that's what that song is. That's what that song's about. Deo. It's about a banana. Yeah. Well, I was hoping to launch in this really lengthy conversation about how awesome 20,000 Leagues is. And,
well, you shouldn't have asked us first.
I was going to say, if anybody did get pulled in by the performance by James Mason, you know, he's in another great movie called Odd Man Out. But I don't know if this movie made anybody here a James Mason fan, but Odd Man Out is wonderful.
I love James Mason.
He was good at some points, but then, like, my issue with him is the whole scene where he's steering the boat at the end as he's been shot.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's got
God.
A fucking hole in his back, and none of the crew are doing anything.
No, because
they're
prepared
to die.
They're all prepared
to
die.
Like,
and they're prepared to go with him.
They're ready to go. They're resigned to it. What were you going to say? Justine.
No, that guy's behind him. He doesn't know yet, but you're right behind him. I felt like he took a long time to die, so it felt like I was watching. I don't know if you guys have ever seen any like Indian films where they take a long time to die and they just keep going through the road and singing and while they're dying.
Yeah, well, we're gonna talk about that in The Searchers.
This guy took forever to die.
Most racist thing I've ever said.
It needed to be dramatic.
The Nautilus was really cool, though.
Is that the greatest looking that submarine?
That set was fantastic.
I'm telling you guys. I mean,
how about where the pipe organ is?
Yeah.
That's in Haunted Mansion, though, Justine told me.
Is that right?
That's it.
That's only Disneyland has the original.
It's not the pipes. It's just the organ.
Disney World has the replica, and Tokyo has the other one.
Because when Disneyland first opened, like the day before they opened, Disney got this wild idea. He says, let's put some of this on display. So like that room, you know, with the red upholstered furniture and the organ, they had that where you could just walk in and look at it. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, it just kind of fell apart and got it just fell into disrepair. Yeah. But he wanted people to see it. So if you had gone like the first couple of years, you'd see that set at Disneyland.
That set is amazing. Yeah. It's amazing how much detail went into, like, you look at the gauges and all of the work. That set design is insane.
And the miniatures, you know, all that stuff was like state-of-the-art miniature work, which really looks great. If you do miniatures wrong, it really looks awful.
Yeah, they did a good job.
And also a lot of matte painting on glass. Like when they look at that island with all the guys doing the labor, a lot of that is like matte painting on glass.
It's crazy.
Like pre-CGI, that's how you had to do it. You'd shoot it, you know, through this glass, and this guy would spend like months painting all this detail on it.
And then I will destroy the world. I won't.
That's it.
I think the thing that bothered me is the way they treated the animals in this one.
The turtles,
but
definitely.
But the same thing for me happened in The Searchers, and I was like, they just do not care. All animals were harmed during the film.
Yep.
That part
when you're watching the...
The turtles?
Yeah, when they're dragging
that
the turtles.
That was painful.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't. I was like, what is happening? I was so mad.
And then my wife was pointing out, she's like, they're just stomping on the coral.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, like, jumping off of the coral.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. I was like, this is what started it. Everyone was
started those no animals were harmed. They said, we have to do something, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with the Westerns, where they would put trip wires up. Some of those Michael Curtiz Westerns, they'd put trip wires up, and if the horses went over, that's the way it goes. That's why they passed all those laws saying you can't kill a horse to make a movie. You know?
Yeah.
Well, it looked like they killed that buffalo when I saw that. When the shot went and then he went down.
It looked like stock footage, though.
It looks real to me, but.
It looked like stock footage.
And no putting spears through giant squids.
Yeah, that's.
All right.
No squids were harmed.
Oh, and then he says, throw me another arrow. I'm like, it's a fucking harpoon.
You can say arrow.
You know who got great treatment was the seal.
The seal, yeah.
They said she would do anything you wanted if you threw her a herring. But at a certain point, she'd just go off and the trainer would say, that's it. That's it for the day.
Well, they said that everyone on the crew, everyone on set had fish in their pockets. So they were always ready to treat her.
The part that always makes me laugh is how when she gooses Peter Lorre and he just goes, like that part really makes, because I feel like that was a real reaction.
It might have been.
I feel like that wasn't like,
it might have been.
Oh, that makes me laugh every time he does it.
So
good old Peter Lorre.
He's great in that. They said he was a lot of fun on the set. He was like, they say on any set, he was always in a really good humor and would do practical jokes. And he was always, everyone got along with him.
They called it cruel jokes on there.
Is it weird?
Oh, yeah.
They said cruel because they said he had a temper and he has cruel jokes.
Whoa.
Like, whoa. Okay.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
That's awesome.
He's cruel, but only to be kind.
So you want us to rate it?
Yeah, give us your...
I love that. So you want us to rate it?
Give us your rating.
I give it a 7.
7?
Hey, that's good.
I didn't love it, but
that's
I give it a 7.
That's not bad. How about that?
You give it a 7 because you can respect it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Visually, it's like a 9.
Yeah, it's great.
Absolutely.
That's
really is what bumping it up.
Early,
that story
early
was just
CinemaScope shot, beautifully shot. That the scenes were on the beach in Jamaica.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
They work in a little racism. Thank you, Disney.
Yeah,
like
that was
always
nice, right?
We're gonna electrocute the natives.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, really? I mean,
I gave him a hot foot. I gave him a hot foot.
Yes.
It's like hey, that's good fun and games.
Yeah. And there's Kirk Douglas just pointing out the window and laughing.
Yep, that's it.
That was great.
And then the little German guy too. Hmm.
Yeah.
All right, what? What did you give it, Justine?
I give it a 6.
Wow,
that's good as Casablanca.
As good as Casablanca.
I like the ship. It looked really cool.
Six out of six.
That window was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was lame because the video was, but I mean, it's cool.
Because it was early.
That's their time, yeah.
She gave it a six.
Yeah, there is one scene where they're watching the people leave the ship, and it's not to scale. You're like, they look like they're a foot out of the window.
Yeah.
But when you're a kid, you don't notice stuff.
Most of that rear screen was pretty damn good.
Yeah. The shark scene, that's just bad.
Oh, and they shot that shark?
That's supposed to be a great big shark. It's just not.
And Nicole goes, hey, that's a nurse shark. I'm like, how do you know? She's like, it's a nurse shark. I look it up. It's like a nurse shark went after the crew. It didn't attack them, but it was like it kept swimming around. I was like, how did she know?
Those things are freaking small, too. They're not big.
Listen, this is the 1860s. Nobody knew anything.
It's so cheesy.
They just 1953. Nobody knew anything.
They don't know what a nurse shark looks like.
I think the thing I liked the most was that grave. They were doing the grave. That scene really pulled me in.
There you go.
That was the thing that pulled me in. I was like, wow, this is great. I like that story. I like what they did with the coral cross.
Yeah, you know, he's
and then he starts signaling everybody, and it's really slow, and he's like,
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, okay, son of a
bitch. Oh, you're in trouble.
What do you got? Jake, what did you think?
I give it like a 7.5. That was good.
All right, man.
Hot dog.
John, what do you give this one?
Solid 9. I just love it.
Yeah, this is like an 8 for me. Yeah. This is an 8 for me. Yeah. It does go a little long. It does.
And I can understand that it's you know, in 2018 it may not have the same impact, but it's a favorite.
I just felt like it was too long.
My only complaint is the professor's just kind of boring. All the scenes with the professor, I'm like,
It was unnecessary.
He's there for exposition. It's a thankless role. When you're acting with James Mason, Peter Lorre, and Kirk Douglas, let's face it, you're fourth banana. you know, I mean, he's just there for exposition, basically.
Let me ask you guys a question though. Yeah. Do you think they cast him because he kind of looks like Walt Disney?
If you listen to the documentary, there's a monster documentary on the second disc, and they kind of talk. I don't like how they
bend over backwards for him. Adding a fight scene and adding the two girls on his arm really bothered me.
Wow, really?
What do you mean, Kirk Douglas?
A fight scene?
So that whole beginning part where they all start fighting,
yeah.
He just wanted to seem more manly. He didn't like that there was no action in there because he wanted to be an action star.
What it was?
So then they gave him, he always had the two girls on his arms. He had that, and then the fight scene was just added for him.
Oh, that was added for Kirk Douglas.
Yes.
I never heard that.
No, that's really.
So he pulled that kind of weight. So he told him, "I better get more action in this."
Mm. Yeah. So they added in something that made him look girly and manly.
Because there's no women in the movie.
There's no women. He read the script and he just said, "Wait a minute. I seem like a wuss. I don't do any action at all."
How about that? They added that in there. And well, I never heard that. And he had the kind of clout in those days to pull that off.
Yeah, that made me mad.
Well, it is Spartacus. He is Spartacus.
All right. Well, I was going to say the reason this, I always forget this is a Disney movie is because it wasn't. They had to loan out. They had to go to like different studios.
Oh,
it didn't feel like a Disney movie.
Yeah. So that first scene where they're in that, it's supposed to be San Francisco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't look like any of the Disney sets that you see later on in the Disney movies. So it always feels like a different studio did it. So I always liked this movie.
The production design, everything was out. Yeah, it was not in-house. So, it doesn't feel like a Disney film.
All right.
Yeah. So what did you give it?
Oh, I would give this one an 8.
Yeah.
It's an 8. What did I say? Yeah, 8.
You said 8.
Lady and the Tramp is next, 1955. The romantic tale of a sheltered uptown Cocker Spaniel and a streetwise downtown mutt.
With Kirk Douglas as the mutt.
Directors Clyde Geronimi, Wilford Jackson, and Hamilton Lusk. Written by Ward Green. Mm-hmm. And produced by Walt Disney, of course. The cast is Peggy Lee, mm-hmm. Larry Roberts, Verna Felton. Who else? Who was the lady? Barbara Luddy. And the Mellow Man. which John is always a joke for John.
Or the high lows, yeah. Oh, the Mellow Man. Is that like Mel Torme's group?
I have no idea.
That's the Meltos.
This is the first Disney animated movie shot in widescreen. And it is widescreen.
They took advantage of it. They're like, let's go big.
And the awesome thing is when you look at the backgrounds in this movie,
beautiful.
They are all beautifully done and they're super dense. There's so much deep, it's really, really cool. You know, I've seen this a million times because my daughter loved it when she was little. It's fine. It's just kind of like the story's just kind of, there it is. It's really not a lot to...
It always kind of leaves me a little cold. The animation is gorgeous, but it's never...
The dog, Tramp, is well...
You mean Butch?
Or, sorry, Butch the Tramp.
Butch.
He is so well animated. Yeah. He looks like a real dog.
Yeah.
It's awesome how
Lady doesn't, but he does.
Yeah, he really does. But it just there's way too much stuff with Lady in the beginning. You could have gotten that done in 5 minutes. Here comes a baby. Oops.
It's for kids. It just doesn't pull me in, you know. It's great. It's gorgeous, but it just isn't one of my favorites.
And yeah. We got a lot of, there's a lot of, even in the dog world, there's fun stereotypes that we can do. We can do Italian. We can do Mexican.
Yeah. Scottish.
We can do Scottish.
Hello, little Lassie.
Southern Alabaman.
Yeah, yeah.
Wee little bear.
Yeah. What do you guys like this one? Is this a favorite of yours?
It's like my least favorite Disney movie.
So it's like your Peter Pan.
Yeah. Visually, it's fun. Like, it looks really good at some points, and I like the fact that it's one of their first ones, and they have a lot of good imagery, but the story is just horrible.
Yeah, it's a nothing story.
And you just fucking hate Aunt Sarah. She is a her and her two fucking Siamese cats. Yeah. And it's just, it's her so two, like, that part is so blatantly bad
and
that it's just uncomfortable.
You don't like cats who are racial stereotypes?
No, it was so bad.
They needed like an evil stepmother type. So they,
yeah. But it's not even, Aunt Sarah's not even the evil stepmother. It's the fucking cats.
Yeah. There's really no villain except for those cats.
There's got to be a protagonist, yeah.
And even the rat.
Or the antagonist.
The rat is, but the rat's only acting like a rat would act. Rat.
I know. Yeah. It's so funny. It's like, he's not a villain. He's a rat.
Yeah. It made me feel, the rat like feels like it comes straight out of Black Hole.
And even the dog catcher, you want to hate the dog catcher, but then when she has a license, they're like, here you go, sweetheart. They're here to pick you up. You're like, even the dog catcher's nice.
Like, oh, it's fucking privilege.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, great.
It was just painful to watch.
But the little chihuahua in there is like,
Oh my God, I love
it. And of course, for all our Italian friends.
Oh, the Russian dog.
Oh, you bring the dog a meatball.
Oh, bring it to the porch of the nice.
This is a night.
It's a beautiful
That
night.
Is a great song, but it's the only song that there is. The one Peggy Lee, of all people, sings a song. And it's terrible that He's a Tramp song is just kind of whatever.
Now, for some people, that's the highlight of the movie when she does the song. Yeah. And she wrote that, right?
I think so.
That dog looks drunk when she's
Yeah, she's supposed
part.
To.
Yeah?
She's supposed to look like someone who's...
Like a booze hound.
Yeah!
She's a whore.
What did you get, John? Or, no, you're not John. You're Justine.
Whoa.
Are we rating it?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You were giving your
My 2 cents? It was all right. I like it better. I hate Aristocats, so I would put this ahead of that.
What did you think of 101 Dalmatians?
I liked 101 Dalmatians.
Because it always seemed to me the Aristocats were kind of a ripoff on 101 Dalmatians.
I love Aristocats.
No one likes Aristocats.
I do too.
What? Yeah. Everybody wants to be a cat.
Be...
What did you give
cat?
Lady and the Tramp?
Who knows what is that?
Are we rating it?
Yeah, let's rate it.
Oh, it's like a 4.
A 4?
It's a fucking 4.
I give it a 4.5.
Shit. I know it's bad when my rating is lower than
what'd you say?
5.5 or 6.
Jake gives it a 6. You give it a 5. You get a 4.
It was cool
John?
To see the stereotype. It was interesting to see the stereotype.
You know, the animation would get like a 10, but I'd give it like a 6.
Yeah,
it
that's
just
right.
It just doesn't grab me.
It's
you know?
It's like a 6 for
great
me.
Great for kids if you're a little kid. You know,
it just seems so rich because of their house and the way they
privilege.
Decorate. I was just like, what is like? They're just so rich.
But that's the point. She comes from a wealthy family.
Yeah,
you know?
So I just
and the only reason he's still alive is because she's rich.
Oh,
horrible.
Good old. I don't even know the dog's name. What's his name?
Butch.
And what's her name?
Lady.
She named her Lady.
So Butch is the Tramp.
So yeah, that's the funny thing about this movie too. They actually name Tramp as Butch. The Italians call him that the whole time.
So it's not Lady and the Butch.
It's Lady
no, but
and the
no,
Butch.
No.
Stop taking your cord out.
I seriously did you shock yourself?
No, I punched myself in the face. Okay. Here's the thing though. I think the thing is
that's
everybody has a different name for him.
Yeah. That's the only name they gave him.
No, because when they go to other, somebody else calls him Caesar or something. The first house he goes to, they call him something.
Really? Because
he says
I don't
remember
that
he part. Says he
the
has like
dogs.
6, but you only see the Italian guys. So that's when
yeah,
you hey a Butch.
I thought they said a Pooch. I called him Pooch.
No, Butch.
Oh, maybe. Oh, Butch.
Hey, it's a Pooch.
Is there an app for that where you can see what
can we talk about...
that would make more sense if his name is like just a bunch of different names.
What's the time, Renee?
Time to get ill.
We're at 28 minutes?
That's it?
Perfect. Jeez. We're only at 28 minutes? We've already talked about 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
We didn't spend a lot of time. We thought we were going to spend a lot more time on 20,000 Leagues
Under the
Sea. We just
didn't like it.
Yeah. You guys were quick on 20.
Hey.
We thought
all right, well,
a lot
Patrick
more.
Got up to go to the bathroom, okay. But it is time to talk about our second Western on the show. Mm-hmm. I forgot to give you guys the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea rating. It gets 7.2 on IMDb.
And how about, I bet Rotten Tomatoes that's has got to be higher,
your, that's out of your rating system.
Rotten Tomatoes has got to be like
I'm looking right
like
now.
Like an 8.5, probably. 8.3, I'm going to guess.
Lady and the Tramp?
No. 20,000 Leagues. Come on.
How did I find this?
I like Lady and the Tramp.
But the way that they revealed that dog was the way that Walt Disney revealed the dog to his wife, and she named that dog Lady.
Oh.
So, yeah, there's a whole thing on the movie that has an extra on how much Walt Disney loved dogs, and it just, it was so sad.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea got 7.2 on IMDb, 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
89.
They do percentages.
Yep.
Lady and the Tramp, what are they giving it?
Let me tell you right now.
I did like the Russian dog, though.
That was cool.
It's like a Russian wolfhound.
Little babushka, yeah. It was nice.
That's
kind of a prelude to
You sons of bitches. Lady and the Tramp gets 7.3 on IMDb and 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. I would say 20,000 Leagues is a better movie, Disney fans.
Yeah, it's 1%
better.
1%. Some fans will give any animated Disney just 100%.
Because everybody loves that song.
It's so beautiful.
That's like
everybody remembers the meatball and the spaghetti scene.
Yeah, and it's been done so many times. Yeah.
Like, what movie was it? Was it Airplane or Naked Gun where he actually Leslie Nielsen does the meatball?
Yes.
He does the meatball with his nose.
I think there was Airplane.
Or Naked Gun.
No, I think it's Naked Gun.
It's Naked Gun. It's not Airplane.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right.
From 1956, our first John Ford movie.
First John Wayne movie.
Our first John Wayne movie. I think it may be our only John Ford movie. We have another John Wayne movie coming down the pike.
Thank God.
That was my first John Wayne movie.
Was it?
Really?
And this is interesting because when you first watch this movie, it seems like a very typical Western, and it's not until you peel back the layers that you start to see what this movie is all about. And
Kate Donkey.
This is the Searchers from 1956. Yep. An American Civil War veteran embarks on a journey to rescue his niece from the Comanches. Directed by John Ford. Written by Frank S. Nugent, who wrote the screenplay. And Alan LeMay wrote the novel. I know his granddaughter.
Really?
I do know his granddaughter.
No kidding.
Stars John Wayne, Jeffrey Hunter, Vera Miles. And Ward Bond, of course.
And a very young Natalie Wood.
Very young Natalie Wood. Very young, what's her name? Lana Wood, who will return later in Diamonds Are Forever. Don't say it, John. All right. He's making faces over here. Remember, sorry. She's about 7 when this movie takes
place. I'm thinking of when she's 27.
Ken Curtis, who went on to play Festus. Festus, who would be the sidekick to our intrepid FBI agent later on from Them. Went out of star on Gunsmoke, and Festus was the sidekick.
It's going to be the greatest name of all time for a sidekick, Festus. I mean, we've had Gabby Hayes, we've had Pat Buttram, but Festus has got to be the greatest.
All right, here we go.
But I digress.
Let's talk about The Searchers, everybody, The Searchers. Who would like to start? Who would like to start peeling back those onions?
Moses Noses.
What do you got?
It was a fun movie. I had the same problem with this one that I did with 20,000. It was too long. But I enjoyed this one a little bit more than 20,000 Leagues. It's fairly fast at some points. Like when they're doing all their chase scenes, that was kind of fun. And it was an interesting story, but John Wayne just kind of flipped back and forth between emotion where he's like trying to be this likable guy to, I'm just an asshole really quick.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes, just so you
know. Really?
We're just dropping that in there.
This is a beloved movie for John Ford freaks and John Wayne freaks.
8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah. Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, and a few other people, they love this movie. It's in their top 10.
So if you think of Star Wars... And you think of the scene where Luke returns back to the farm.
Yeah.
That's lifted directly from this movie when they come back and...
Everybody's dead.
Everybody's dead. So keep going. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
There's parts I liked, like the fight scene was probably the best part. The fight between...
Where Charlie gets kicked in the face?
Just
when they're like so gentlemanly about it. They're like, no, here, let me hold your coat. Here, spit over this steak. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's
and then
go.
Just kicks him in the face.
Like, freaking hilarious. That's, yeah, so there were like some really thing. Funny parts. Overall, it was enjoyable. It was fun.
Enjoyable and fun. All right. Yeah. Not the words I would describe the search. Justine! It's okay. We're still friends.
It's okay.
I didn't like John Wayne at all.
You're not supposed to.
Okay, because I really hated him.
You're not supposed to.
I was like, this guy's an asshole. Yep. Well, it just surprised me because I read that he loved the character so much that he named his kid after the character.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be a really cool guy. And when I like watched it, I'm like, what is wrong with John Wayne? I was just mad. But then I also read that something happened to one of the Navajo kids that were on there. And he let them ride his private, what was it?
Airplane
to go to the hospital.
So they named him?
So the tribe named him Big Eagle?
Yeah.
Bald Eagle?
Big Eagle, something like that.
Wow. But
if you're going to tell a story, make sure you get it all right.
I know, but.
Wow.
Says the guy playing his Nintendo Switch.
It's called multitask.
I think I just had it in my mind that you're supposed to like this character, and I hated him the whole way through.
That's exactly the response you're supposed to get.
And then, and all the characters are against him, too. Like, calm down. You're horrible. I just made
me
mad.
He's basically the villain.
He is the villain.
He had played so many heroes that when you see something like The Searchers, you go, oh, wow. You know, what an asshole. But it's like, that's the character.
In the next movie, we're going to see him. In a couple of weeks, we're going to watch a movie called Rio Bravo. And he is very much the typical John Wayne character.
Okay, this is my first John Wayne character I've seen, and I hate him. I'm like, why do people
and
like
you know,
him?
There's another one called Red River where he plays a real son of a bitch. Right. And it shows you that he's got some range. He's not just the white hat. He can play difficult, multidimensional people. People just think, oh, yeah, he was always the hero. But if you start watching stuff like Red River or The Searchers, you go, no, he had a range because he could play complicated.
And it's usually John Ford that's bringing those out of him. Like that, those kind of performances.
Red River is Howard Hawks, and that's the one where John Ford said, son of a bitch, he can act. So he said, okay, this is why he brought him some more complicated things. Because Ford saw Hawks' Red River, and he said, I didn't know the big son of a bitch could act, which is kind of tongue-in-cheek. Of course he knew he could act, but he's all, wow, he's playing older. He's playing kind of an SOB, and it's like, okay. So the next movie he did, I think... can't remember which one it was. It might have been She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. He says, okay, I'm going to have you play even older and even more difficult.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had it in you.
it's weird because he does team up again with Hawks for Rio Bravo, and that's considered, along with The Searchers, one of the best John Wayne movies.
It's like those are his two big directors, Howard Hawks and John Ford. Those are the two guys he's getting the best movies from, is those two guys.
Jake, quick thumbnail. What did you think?
Same thing with Patrick. I thought, you know, John Wayne's character was super, super interesting and complex. And you didn't like him, but you knew, like, he had gone through a lot and can kind of understand where he's coming from. But, yeah, it was just so long. And, I mean, the movie itself spanned across, 5 years?
Yeah.
Trying to look for her.
Felt like 5 years watching it.
Yeah,
you guys wait till you get to Lawrence of Arabia.
I've seen it.
You guys think
this is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, this is like
Lawrence Arabia did not feel as long as this one.
Ah,
yeah, well, that's a good director because you're supposed to feel what the characters are going through.
Yeah,
keep going. I just don't know.
But yeah, it's just it kind of dragged on a little bit for me. There was like a lot of these. There's a lot of points.
Damn it!
Throughout. There's a lot of points throughout the 5 years where I'm like, is this scene really necessary? There's some of it just kind of a little.
Oh, like the I like love what? The cantina scene in Mexico. That was fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun scene.
Mamacita, more tortillas.
I really felt for
más frijoles, por favor.
By the way, that is, for Star Trek fans, that's Captain Pike. That was the original captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
He went on to star in the original Star Trek.
I thought he looked familiar.
He's also plays Jesus in the greatest story ever told.
Yeah.
A King of Kings.
Oh, and I like when John Wayne throws his shot into the fire in the Soviets. Burn it down. Fuck it.
Their dead people were the worst.
What do you mean?
They're just always breathing in the scene. Oh. Right when the rock goes off of that person, his like chest goes up and down.
Yeah, he was buried under a rock, Justine.
Okay, and but then they take like... the towel off his face, and then he's like breathing. You see the chest breathe again. I'm like, what?
Wow, you're watching carefully.
And then you it's like,
right in the scene. She's like,
I call bullshit. He's still
scene.
Alive. Bullshit.
I was like, oh, he's alive. Like, oh, this they're saying real.
Same thing with look. Like when she was dead in the teepee.
Yeah,
she's breathing and she's blinking. Blinking. Like you see her. Kind
I didn't
of,
even notice that.
You see her kind of smile, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Wow. They're tough.
Yeah. They're you tough. Guys are much tougher.
I love the scene, right?
We were paying attention to detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what happens when we watch it on the TV?
Now, wait, I was going to say, you didn't want, I was going to say, you didn't watch it on a phone, did you?
No, she's all on the TV.
Oh, what'd you think of the setting?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Red
look.
Rocks, yeah.
The whole, like, visually, the movie's stunning.
Yeah.
All is the that, color choices
that,
and funny.
That opening valley? Shot, yeah. Yeah that yeah. opening shot is amazing.
Even the last shot, when everybody's that's, entering the house, and then John Wayne is, yes. like, the last person on the porch, and they close the door, that shot is beautiful.
That's one of the most famous closings in
that's
in
an iconic
endings,
shot, yeah.
In all of cinema history. Yeah. So let's talk about...
Talk about it.
Why you hated the character. What made you hate him?
John Justin? Wayne?
Yeah.
Seem like an. I don't want to say that.
You can say it.
She's like Confederate a Confederate asshole.
Old racist.
That's the whole point.
That's what he felt like.
That's what he was playing.
That's what he was playing.
The whole idea. Couldn't get out of that, and I just wanted him to die.
Okay. The whole subtext of the movie is basically when they talk about her being captive. What they're really implying is, eventually, turning Comanche means. They're going to sleep. They're going to become a wife of one of the Braves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's mixing of the races, and he will not have it. And that's why he's all about, he is going to kill her, mm-hmm. and he's not going to listen to his nephew, and he won't even listen to his nephew, who's quote unquote a half breed, right? They adopted this kid, right? And then you have the whole idea, and it's not just him. What did you think of, so you watch the first scene mm-hmm. and you realize, so here's where a lot of people, there's two scenes that kind of, or there's two things in the movie that kind of people argue about, and they're open-ended. If you watch the scenes with Martha, the way she responds to him, and...
Oh yeah, they're saying that could be his daughter.
They're implying that could be his daughter.
Yeah, I thought
There's definitely implications that he... that they were in love. There's definitely that. But there are a lot of people that basically, I don't buy that it's his daughter, but I do buy that they're in love with each other. That's why that scene, if you go back and watch the scene in the kitchen where the Reverend comes in, Ward Bond, who I swear to God looks like my dad in this movie, it trips me out. But there's that scene where he's getting ready to go. Everybody's left the house. He's got the coffee and he's waiting for Ethan to come out. He looks over and she's picking up his Confederate jacket, and she's like stroking it and just like looking at it like lovingly. The Ward Bond plays is so great. He looks over and then just looks dead ahead. He just looks straight ahead like, I'm not seeing this, and just keeps like eating his donut, and then they come out and say goodbye behind him, mm-hmm. and he like kisses her on the head, and Ward Bond is just like, he will not make eye contact. Then he puts the coffee down, walks past her, doesn't make eye contact, and just walks out. Like,
you can kind of tell.
Yeah, he knew what was going on. Like, it's like common knowledge to everybody except his own brother.
Yeah.
I don't buy that it's his daughter.
That's taking it a little too far.
Here's the other scene, and let me see what you guys interpret. There's a scene later on where they find the older sister, and they say these tracks went off this way. And John Wayne runs. He goes by himself. The other guys wait.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes out. And they're like, what did you see? And he won't say.
Yeah.
He says, don't ever ask me about it again.
That's a hell of a scene. Yeah.
So you assume that she's been killed. She's been probably raped and killed. There are people, though, that say that there are people that argue that he actually killed her. What did you guys get from that scene? Did you guys feel like he had killed her? Or he found her there because he covered the cloak. He leaves the cloak with her. They say, what'd you do with your Confederate cloak? And he said, I must have dropped it. So he covered her body.
I got the essence that she was probably raped and killed. I didn't feel like he killed her, but
it could go either way.
It could. I agree.
And you're kind of left to wonder. I don't think it's not spelled out.
Yeah,
because you don't ever see her, and I think.
But
that's
definitely,
why.
In his way of thinking, it'd be better if she was dead. So
yeah.
So the way he thinks, it almost doesn't matter one way or the other. That's the way he's looking at it. Better dead than the bride of one of the Comanches,
yeah.
You know.
And there's a really interesting thing, because even the characters you like. When it's the wedding and they have the fight scene, and he's telling the girl, he's like, I gotta go find Debbie, and she goes, you know, you're not gonna find her, and even if she is alive, you know, Ethan's gonna kill her, and she says something like, he's like, no, I won't let her, and he goes, it's better off that she has a bullet in her brain. Even Martha would say so. Mm.
Yeah.
So even the mom that, you know, like you think, you know, you feel bad for this family.
But I mean, the way she was lovingly stroking the Confederate
jacket. But I mean, even the nice characters are, they have racist. This racism inside them. Even the characters that you're supposed to sympathize with are like these racist characters. And so this movie has to say a lot without saying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it does,
and it does,
and it does. I mean, it's supposed to be what, 1865 or something.
Yeah, it's right after the Civil War, 1868.
So
there's still a lot of that, and it's not just toward the, you know.
I mean, you were in the middle of the Indian Wars, so of course this is the way people thought. You know, it's of its time. Yeah.
And I think that's why John Wayne can't go in the house at the end of the movie, because
he's not part of it.
Because he's not. They're moving towards a more civilized. By accepting Debbie, after everything she's been through, they're kind of having to put aside their own prejudices, and like, I don't think he's still ready to do that. I still don't think he's ready. So he has to. He can't be part of that.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? But it's weird that he. Somebody pointed out that that's the type of person you needed to, on the frontier, to like, you know, quote unquote, tame the West. But the second we become civilized, you can't have that around anymore.
No.
And a lot of movies have covered that. It's like, you know, you need us to settle the place. But once you've settled it, we're like a fish out of water.
That was
we
like,
need to move on to the next untamed place, you know.
That was like the other Western we watched.
Shane,
yeah. The same thing with the cattle rustlers. Shane, we were there to tame the West. And now that you guys are becoming more civilized, you don't need us anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
What would you have done as Ethan walks up and a little kid ran out going, Ethan, oh, come back.
Fuck.
I would have just stopped that whole thing. Like, freaking Mario. No.
You would have looked at each other and went, what the hell is this? Was this a theme in the 50s or
like,
what?
If you were sitting next to me and you had food in your hand, I would have knocked that out of your hand. I would have turned to you and been like, seriously?
Such a great response.
It'd be great if in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, some kid had gone, Nemo, come back, Nemo.
But I want to know is when people watched us, when was it, 54?
56.
Did they think it was racist, or were people watching it like, yeah, this is
that's
how
the thing.
It should be?
That's the thing.
And that's what made me mad watching it, because I'm like, because I know people, and this is the only movie I've seen with John Wayne. I know people love John Wayne, and I'm just thinking, how can someone like this guy? But
yeah,
I don't.
I think people went to the. I think people were probably shocked at the portrayal, because
I would imagine that your typical John Wayne fan may not have understood it or dug it. You know, okay. Somebody wanted to just see him like, you know, as the hero. I can only imagine seeing this back in the 50s and going, wow, that was not a typical John Wayne movie.
And how big was he when this movie, like how many movies have he done?
He was like at the height of his.
Okay. We're talking, he'd already done 30 years worth of movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was huge.
He still has a few big movies coming up, but.
But this was not an easy movie. In a way, it just says more of him as an actor. This was not easy. This isn't like write in and save the day. This is. If you're an actor, you don't always want to just play a one-dimensional good guy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that he thought, you know.
It was definitely not one-dimensional.
Yeah. No.
Well, he has a lot of those scenes where the scene that always gets me is when they go to the fort and there's the two, the captives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he hears one of them going crazy and turns around and you can just see he wants to murder. He's like, she shouldn't, you know, the look in his eye is, if there was nobody here, I would kill them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And they do that zoom. That 50s zoom where you can't, they zoom the whole, it's like a dolly zoom. And just the look in his eye is just insane. You're just like, he would kill them if there weren't anyone around to stop him. And then he basically does the same thing with, you know. But what's amazing to me is, what always amazes me about this movie is, you have a movie that deals with racism while being racist. You have a white guy in red paint.
That was
playing,
so bad.
You know, which was the norm. Playing Scar. Yeah,
yeah, the German Jew playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And
yeah,
right away, you look at him, you can tell he's Jewish.
It was
and you're
horrible.
Just like.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that.
I don't know. Was he Jewish?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a German Jew.
But Iron Eyes Cody was an Italian, right?
Yeah.
It's like.
But that was the norm at the time. And so it's amazing that you're using. You almost wonder if John Ford is saying, I will, you know, I'll use this against them. You know, I'll make a movie where. But I think.
He's a complicated guy. If you read about John Ford, he's got a million layers. Because he seems like he's doing things for the right reason, and then other times you go, "What the hell?" So he's another guy with a million layers. These are not simple people.
And John Ford was known to make a John Wayne cry at times, and would kind of berate him and emasculate him in front of the crew, and like he wasn't afraid to.
He's a very vicious guy. He's the guy that put John Wayne on the map. If you guys ever want to see a John Wayne playing a good guy, if you want to see the flip side of this, if you ever have the time, watch Stagecoach. It's not long. He is the hero, and that is the movie that made him a star. And he's the good guy. That's really something to see. If you want to see the flip side of a John Wayne performance, the opposite of The Searchers is watch Stagecoach.
And it's from 1939,
and that was the star-making role. And Ford gave it to him on a platter. He says, "This is the one." But the flip side was, "I'm gonna make everybody." He had this weird thing where, yeah, he would berate him, and everybody got that treatment. Jimmy Stewart got the same treatment when they were making Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. He would pick somebody out on the in the cast or crew and just start just like laying into him. Damn. It's like, I don't know. It's the way he worked somehow. He'd rally everybody else by coming out against. He had odd psychology.
That's crazy.
Almost like you hear about Elia Kazan doing that, trying to get a performance out of somebody by laying into him.
Yeah.
So you get different emotions because.
I guess when they made They Were Expendable,
yeah.
He would bring up the fact that John Wayne avoided service in World War II.
Yeah.
And make him cry, like literally.
He was a real
like shame him in front of the crew.
Real SOB, and yet at the same time he could break down and cry. Super emotional guy, so really a complicated person.
Complicated. Jake, what did you think, man? Was there anything about this movie that kind of spoke to you as far as the message it was trying to convey, or were you just like, meh? They're gonna find this girl.
It's just he was like. I don't understand how at the end of the movie he ended up saving Debbie because he was dead set on just murdering her.
That's why people think that it's his daughter. That's why
because it's
that's the argument
he
people
was
have.
Going, like when he first saw her, he was going to kill
yes.
her. And if his nephew didn't step into the way, he probably would have.
Yeah.
Which is why I was kind of confused, like why at the end of the day he still ended up saving.
It might have been just the sheer amount of time he spent. He spent all this time trying to find her, and he just couldn't go through with it.
Yeah.
When he finally did find her,
mm-hmm. maybe enough. Maybe Martin had gotten into his ear enough, or maybe just seeing her.
Yeah, yeah. Because then he just hugs her, right?
There's that great scene always gets me where they're arguing and she comes running over the hill. You just see her in the background.
Yeah.
And she comes running down the hill, and it's such a great scene. The score by Max Steiner is really really great. There are a lot of really intense moments in this movie, and there's a lot of silly moments too, like the fight scene.
Every John Ford picture, it seems, has a couple silly scenes, and they usually are fight scenes, like The Quiet Man. There's all that stuff in
the bar.
The
Marcus of Queensbury.
And they do the same thing. They kind of take off their jackets and brush off their hats and have a beer and shake hands, and then one of them just goes wham, cold cocks them.
I love that scene. That's so funny.
That's in almost every John Ford picture, you know.
Somebody's fiddle.
That fight scene,
I cannot get that out of my head.
I love how dirty everybody gets. Though.
Yeah, when they finally get back to fighting in the house, you see all the dust just like that brown dust just fly off of them.
Okay. Well, that's what I love because it looks like they're really hitting each other because you do see the dust fly off of everybody.
Yeah.
This one might be. I don't know if you guys would ever watch it again. But this is a movie, and I'll tell you that when I first watched it, I didn't think much of it. But there were certain scenes, like the fight scenes, that kind of stayed with me. And then
because when you first see it, you think it's just going to be your average Western. And then if you do see it a second time, you go, okay, there's a lot more going on here. This is not just
well,
a
there
Western.
Are scenes that are very typical of a Western, like the, you know, the charging across the river and, you know.
All the Monument Valley stuff.
Yeah.
Because every time he shot a film, he was shooting it in Monument Valley. So. Mm-hmm. Because he knew it was going to look great in black and white or color, sunrise, sunset. It was always going to look like $1 million.
Yeah.
He just loved to shoot around there.
And you know what? Ward Bond. That's all I'm going to say. I love Ward Bond.
God, he's in a million movies. He's got a, you know, when you look at the John Wayne filmography, there's like 100 movies. But Ward Bond, it's probably 200 movies.
Yeah.
Because he's in all those Bogart movies. Yeah. It's not just Westerns.
He's in
all
Maltese Falcon.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in, he was a real character actor.
He's like Walter Brennan or Edward Arnold. They're in like 200 movies playing, you know, because he's a character actor.
Love it.
He's going to get twice the work.
And then, you know? What did you guys think of the young lady, the love interest?
Laurie?
Oh, you know who else is the gentleman who plays the Mr. Jorgensen? He's in
John
a million.
Quaylen.
Yeah, that's who it is.
He's the one in Casablanca with the ring.
Yeah.
Saying I'm with the
Did you guys notice that?
Mm-mm.
No. Yeah.
I think he's talking about Laurie. She's the blonde.
No, the guy with the ring in Casablanca was like,
we're talking about the love interest.
As Vera Miles. Vera Miles.
It was the girl who was waiting for the nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which, just out of nowhere, she's like, yeah, we've been going steady since we were three. And I'm just like, it's the first scene we've seen this girl, and she was pretty badass.
Yeah, she was.
The only part I didn't like is like when the marriage, she kind of flip-flopped. Reminded me from Angela from The Office.
But I did love what that's a great line when John went, she goes, make him stop, Ethan. And he goes, why? You started it. Like, you know. And I love the part where the mom wants to see it. It's like, you can't see that. Yeah. You're a lady. And then he like throws her in the...
And then she goes around to the window.
There are moments where he is likable, where mm-hmm. he does have like
when he stops the nephew from drinking.
Yeah.
Every time he goes for a drink, he always pushes it away.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, he's trying to, you know...
Did you like the bath scene where he's like...
That was funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. She's a cool... I like that girl, actually.
Yeah.
And I like that...
Why would you not?
I like that in the end of that when they're fighting. They're like, okay, let's go get married. And he's like, no, she has things to like think out.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, that's cool. Yeah, it wasn't like a Disney movie where you have to choose now before we end this movie.
We're married now. Yeah. You got some things to think about.
Yeah.
that guy's such a...
Doofus?
Yeah.
Just the way he talks.
Hey, Marty!
Omanar.
Yeah. Oh, skip to Maloo.
Huckleberry Hound School of Acting.
But I did read that Natalie Wood was in high school when she shot the movie. So John Wayne and Jeffrey
Hunter
would go pick her up from high school and take her to the set because they needed her.
How
so
crazy!
All the female classmates were going crazy over this.
Wow,
that's pretty
nuts.
Awesome.
Can you believe that?
Jeez. Whenever they needed her, they'd have to take her from school and bring her.
That's crazy.
Young Natalie Wood. She's
How
very young.
Jelly
was
she's really hey. Pretty, but then I read that she got murdered. So
well, it's still
crazy.
Up in the air. But yeah, there's.
But then I also had to find out that Jeffrey Hunter, that he died at like 40.
Yeah,
I read what happened like in that movie, Chicago Cry or Cry something. Anyways, I read that like the thing didn't go right, and the in the car when it blows up, it was supposed to go outwards the window, but instead it went inwards, hit him. Then he had a concussion. And then after that, like a year later is when he had another one and he fell and hit his head. And
I never heard
skull.
That. That's I never heard that.
Well,
that's
I just thought he was cute. So I was trying to figure out more of his movies. And then that's when I found out he died at like 42.
Yeah. On Easter, they played King
he
of
Kings. He is a handsome dude. Yeah.
He's very handsome.
On Easter, they played King of Kings and he plays Jesus.
I know. I saw that.
He's like a blue-eyed blonde
Jesus.
Watch the
you can find the pilot for Star Trek, the original pilot, and he plays Captain Pike, and he's actually really good.
He
was very good at first. Yeah. I liked him that start out more than what's his name?
Don't you say it,
John Wayne?
Don't you dare say it on the show.
He's more. It seems like he would have been more low key, more cerebral. Yeah.
Yes, you would have.
And I think what they said is we've already got that guy with Spock. So
the fight scenes were better.
Yeah, we're gonna have to.
What do you? What are we? How are we doing on time, Paul?
You guys are hitting it. Just about to hit an hour.
Wow, really?
It's a quick show tonight.
That's okay. We'll do a
just
quick one.
Hit it and quit
we
it.
Did two because we did the we did the board game show.
So I wonder,
are we gonna rate these movie or no? We're not gonna. Rate
yeah, well, let's
one.
Rate the Searchers.
Yeah, dude, he he went on the screen. I was like, that guy's cute.
Yeah, as soon as he showed up, she's like, damn. I'm like, oh, God.
It's those blue eyes. He's a good looking guy. What is that?
He is a handsome
gorgeous.
Dude.
Gorgeous.
Can you blame her for like, no, you're mine.
Yeah, I understood that. He was a little, didn't realize they were dating.
I know, it's so great. It's like, what? What was this now?
Not the brightest tool in the shed.
Yeah, and then the fact that he was in there like, get out. I'm like, dude, this guy's a weirdo. I don't know.
Who is a weirdo?
Jeffries. Or
Jeffrey Hunter.
What about when he's like, Martha! Martha.
Why did you say Hunter? Why did you say Martha? Why did you say Martha?
Oh, yeah, when he's yelling for Martha.
Why did you say Martha?
Don't you go in there.
Yeah, she was a pretty cool chick.
Though. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sorry. He's playing. Don't play it yet. Don't play it. That's our closing music. yeah, man. So
I give this one like a solid 8.
It's weird that you don't like these movies, and then you give them a
high rating.
No, just by the way, them. I appreciate them. So, but my rating is just because I said I didn't love it doesn't mean I don't like it.
Okay.
And that's the same thing I have to tell Justine all the time because she assumes that if I don't love something, I must absolutely hate it.
Yeah,
there's enjoying a movie, and then there's like sort of appreciating and
like
respecting.
Like, I loved Casablanca. I enjoyed these.
Yeah, I'm that way with Citizen Kane. I appreciate it, but it's not fun for me to watch.
It's
I'm
like, yeah, or like Clockwork Orange. It's like you can go, wow, that's a movie, but it's not like a good time. You're not going to sit down every night and go, hey, let's break this out and get the popcorn. You know? It's
I know people that do that.
Or
with
like
Clockwork
Straw Corn. Dogs. You go, wow, that's a movie, but you're not going to watch it for a good time. You know.
No. Sometimes you're in the mood to watch something like that.
Yes.
Justine, what do you give it? A 6.
If there was no humor, I would drop it more, but luckily it picked up.
So it was a comedy.
Because the beginning part was funny when she's like, I want a gold necklace that turns my neck green. Like, I was like, that's freaking hilarious. And then they had the fight scene, so I love that part. It was funny.
It's funny because it's true.
I would give it a 6.5.
Well, a little bit better.
She likes it better than Casablanca.
Wow. That funny part.
The
it was
mind
funny.
Reels.
Dude, it cracks me up.
I don't know. I mean, the mind boggles. But Searchers in Casablanca.
I know.
I wouldn't,
that's personal taste.
I wouldn't be mad at somebody who said that.
That's personal taste.
What do you got?
I give it like
Jake.
7.5.
7.5.
Yeah. If I watch it again, I'd probably like it a little bit more. Because
there you go.
There was a lot going on.
There is a lot going on.
This is like Vertigo. You could watch it like 5 times and go, okay, I finally get that part, you know. Yeah, a lot of layers.
John, what do you say?
I'd give it like an 8, yeah.
Yeah, this is a solid 8 for me. Yeah. I enjoy it as much as 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, but for different reasons.
I would love if somebody can pull up, just to give them like 5 seconds, like if somebody could pull up that first appearance of John Wayne in Stagecoach. I bet you somebody's got it earmarked on YouTube or something. When the camera zooms in, he's spinning the gun, he's on the horseback, and he looks like $1 million, and he's spinning the rifle.
Has Ford ever done a comedy?
Straight comedy? No. Oh. He's done lighter movies.
There's always comedic parts. Every film has
got
some...
I thought he killed it. When it was, like, as soon as it got funny, it killed
it
for me.
Do you like Tombstone?
I've never seen that.
You've never seen Tombstone? Because I was going to say, if you like Tombstone, something to...
So maybe type in opening scene or John Wayne Stagecoach opening scene or first appearance.
Entrance
in Stagecoach. It would just be great for them to see what he looked like that first shot. They do this big zoom
it's
shot
just
of
like
him.
Like when the girl's like, I wouldn't mind if you got me one.
Yeah, I found it.
Okay. That's how a lot of people saw him for the first time. Let's see what it
John Wayne enters.
It just zooms in on his face.
Yeah. I'm looking. Oh, here it is.
It's right there.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Oh, look at those eyes. I went to USC. I'm a dummy. What? I just insulted half our audience. Give it another.
Stagecoach. It'd be great if we could watch Stagecoach. I wish you had that.
I don't.
Because it's got so many people in it. You know, John Carradine, Andy Devine, everybody's in that. My God, Claire Trevor.
What is my favorite John Ford movie, aside from The Searchers, John?
Should I know this?
No. There's no possible way you would know this.
Okay. I am going to say The Informer.
Nope.
I'm going to say...
You get one more going guess next week.
I'm
going
to say The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Nope.
I don't like this game.
I know, it's boring.
Yeah.
So you give it an 8?
Yes.
I give it an 8?
Yes.
Are you guys excited? Next week on the Digital Movie Club, prepare yourselves for the horror that is Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Okay.
The horror that is The horror of Dracula. Horror. And what's the other
that's,
one?
That's redundant.
Sleeping Beauty.
And the horror.
That is Maleficent.
That is Sleeping Beauty. Walt Disney Sleeping Beauty. I know you. I waltz with you. Once upon a dream.
I think that's Prince Philip, right? In that one?
Yes.
That I love it. It's down to who's the prince in this one.
he's a good one.
They're all the same.
He fought a dragon. Prince Philip's pretty cool.
He's the one prince that gets a lot of action.
What happened?
But all that, like, even before he gets to the dragon, he's got his sword carving through all the briars to get to the dragon. That's a hell of a scene.
That is a hell
That's
of
like
scene.
The best scene in the movie. He's got to get into the castle, through the briars, to the dragon.
Yeah, you're right. He does the That's, most. He does he fight does a dragon. The most, and the dragon, it's green flame.
He's not just going, today. I mean, most of the princes are pretty lame.
That
this
was
prince
good.
Is.
That was good.
See that again, John.
Today. He's the Nelson Eddy of princes. That's, anyway. And then he goes, fire. I got a million of them.
Love it.
Unfortunately, I got a million of them.
For next week.
Oh, so those three movies again.
And for 2 weeks from now, okay. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Uh-huh. Horror of Dracula.
The Horror of
Dracula. Horror. The
Horror.
Horror.
Horror of Dracula.
Horror.
And Sleeping Beauty.
There you
Walt
go.
Disney's Sleeping Beauty.
Now, that I'm was released for... in CinemaScope, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
I'm excited for two of these.
Which two?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers and Horror of Dracula.
You don't like Sleeping Beauty?
It's fine. I've seen it a bunch of times. So.
Then you don't have to watch it.
I'm not going
to
watch
what
it.
What I find is it's really tough until the last 20 minutes. When you get the battle with the dragon, that's the best damn thing in the movie. It's a little tough going between
But I'll tell you what, I always like the design of it.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
all
yeah,
the lines.
Like visually, it's really,
really, really cool.
It's super stylized.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost like flat, like they're like walking stained glass. Yeah.
Love it. All right, guys. So next time, until next time, we have our friends Patrick, we have our friend Justine, we have our friend Jake, and we have our friend John Sandy.
Until, and our host.
And Renee.
So until next time, and Renee on the boards. Until next time, guys, fight the power. This transmission ends now.
Whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Mermaid Minnie, met her down in Madagascar. She would kiss me anytime that I would ask her. Then one evening, her flame of love blew out. Blow me down and pick me up, she swapped me for...